Welcome to Homemaker Chic. It's Monday morning. I'll be honest, not the best time of the week. But you can help yourself by taking off that denim jumper that you're wearing, putting on some red lipstick, and enjoying the next hour with us, because we are going to talk about farming and homesteading and gardening and all the gorgeous things that go along with it. But before we do that, we want to introduce this episode's sponsors. Just like last episode, we are very excited to welcome Toups & Co. as this episode's sponsor. Now, if you're not familiar with Toups & Co., it is a wonderful natural makeup and skincare company that you can check out right now at toupsandco.com. Use the code HOMEMAKER for a 10% discount. This company is owned by a friend of mine, Emily, who is amazing at putting together the most delicious skincare that you could possibly imagine, utilizing things like grass-fed tallow and olive oil and essential oils. But the cool thing about this skincare is not that it's natural, but that it actually really works. So go check it out at toupsandco.com. Do a little natural skincare and makeup shopping and use the code HOMEMAKER for a 10% discount.
Shay, we are also sponsored today by American Blossom Linens. And I have to tell you, I washed my sheets this weekend. I'm sleeping like a queen. Well, all the gardening is making me really tired, but I get in bed at night and I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh, and I'm fabulous. So happy to have heard that some of our listeners have already reached out and purchased their own American Blossom Linens. They are 100% American organic cotton, grown in Western Texas, totally environmentally friendly, pure, chemical-free softness, ladies. Oh. They are woven to last a lifetime. These are like modern vintage sheets. And I know I said this the last time, but just having had made my bed again over the weekend with clean sheets, I'm giddy at how this king size fitted sheet does not slip off the corners of the mattress. It makes me so happy. American Blossom Linens is a female created and female run business. There's always free shipping, a 2-year risk-free trial, and Homemaker Chic listeners get 20% off at checkout when they type in Homemaker Chic 20.
Awesome.
I know.
I love that. Well, it's good to see your beautiful face, my friend. I feel like we've had a few days distance, which we haven't really. Like, we've been talking, but not like this. I've missed your beautiful face.
There's been a lot of, oh, thank you. myself as well. I have missed your beautiful face as well. Shay's being very generous because I'm just sitting here with a freshly scrubbed face after getting out of the tub of a long day of gardening. Mm. It took me about 5 minutes to dig the dirt out from under my fingernails.
Is it ever going to come out fully? Because I don't feel like mine's ever going to come out.
I don't think so. It's pretty deep, like in the corners.
Yeah.
I think I just need to cut them off and start over.
Well, we were in the car the other day and Georgia was sort of, you know, toying with her hands and she said, Mom, my hands are like, they feel really rough. And she's like, they feel like your hands. And so I look down at my hands and, you know, we've talked about being chic and about our signature press on nails and, you know, hands showing the age and all that biz. But I look down at mine and they're scalded and wrinkled and dry and dirty and ragged. And I thought, but what I said to her is like, but you know, Georgia, like these hands, they do things. They know how to bake sourdough bread and chop onions and plant cabbages and butcher a duck or, you know, milk a cow, like you name it. And there's something to that. And she just goes silent and looks down at her hands and she's like, well, I want mine to be smooth.
You can keep your cabbage, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. You can keep your skills. I just
definitely not stick on nail season. I tell you what, I mean, every night I'm, you know, in my fabulous sheets. Of course, I'm doing my skincare and I'm taking all the leftovers and rubbing them on my hands. And they are bad. Well, first of all, my nails are growing like the weeds in my garden because that's the kind of season it is. And I have misplaced my nail file and any fingernail trimmers or anything in the entire house. So I'm like, dragon lady, so it's really disgusting.
You're going to have to do that thing that you do to your babies where you
gnaw
them off.
No, I knew you were going to say that. I'm not going to bite. I do not bite my own fingernails. The
Good.
Only reason I bite baby fingernails is because they're not gross. Biting your own fingernails is disgusting.
It is. So, it's a terrible habit, ladies. Don't do that.
I literally went on Amazon and ordered, I don't like fingernail clippers. Like I would use one, but then, you know, finish it off if I had to with a fingernail file. I'm a file kind of a girl. But I'm so tired of my family asking me for fingernail clippers. I ordered like 50 of them. You can order them in bulk on Amazon. And I'm literally going to put them in every nightstand, in every knife drawer, in every junk drawer,
awesome.
In every little random jar in the cabinet where you like throw crap you don't know what to do with. Just so tired of, where are the fingernail clippers? Yeah. So.
Well, I'm kind of impressed that your nails can even grow long this season, because I know I need to wear gardening gloves more. And I know that I need to be a little bit more careful, but I am just out there in my gardens like a mole, just clawing my way through the soil and digging my trenches with my nails. And so I come in at night and they're just sort of like peel away. They're just kind of just like shredded at the ends.
You know? So you don't wear gardening gloves? Sunglasses
I do sometimes,
or gardening gloves?
I do sometimes, but actually I thought of you because last week it was so bright outside that I was hiding in the car, just like, I can't take this amount of sun. I'm like, oh, this is why she wears sunglasses.
Et voila.
So I didn't have my hat, which is what I typically go to, but I, for the car rides, you know, I get a little claustrophobic in the hat. So sunglasses would have made sense. But no, to answer your question, you know, like, for example, today we were outside, we were transplanting about 300 snapdragons. And yay. They're so small and delicate, and like you're pulling them out just very tenderly from their plugs. And there's something about that tactile, just nature with something that small and delicate that I need to use my fingers, my fingertips.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm just going to go in there and, you know, have at it, yes, I'll wear gloves for sure.
Yeah. And I get like the really thin. They have to feel like my hand. I don't want to feel like I have like big clodhopper man gloves on.
Man gloves,
I get like the really thin kind that have the rubber on the inside.
Yes.
My favorite is actually the like the 12 pack or whatever from
like
Costco.
Lowe's or whatever. Yeah.
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 Which they didn't have the last time I went. So I just think I paid like $47 for a pair at the local hardware store. I'm joking. Oh. But you know how small hardware stores are always overpriced.
Yes.
Curbside. Hey, we're going to pull up in 10 minutes. Could you bring us out a pair of gloves for my wife?
12,
she's kind of picky.
Please.
She wants like the rubber on the inside and she wants them nice and small. And
yes.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because I work so hard that I wear the tips out really, really quick. And then the dirt just gets under my fingernails anyways.
It's true. I find myself taking off my gloves a lot and shaking them out.
I do. Yeah.
You
I
know?
Take them off a lot. And again, like even today I was planting radish and you can't handle a radish seed with gloves on.
No, you can't handle any seed with a glove
on. No, you can't.
Even if it's corn.
So have you ever done this thing? I read once I must have read this ages ago about like, this sounds so gross to me, digging your fingernails on a bar of soap. And so you're like,
yes, I've done that before.
Backfilling your fingernails with soap.
Yeah, I've done that before.
You ever done that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'm like, this will help to get it out under from underneath there.
But then you have that like claustrophobic, there's something under your fingernails.
Yes, you do. But then you put them in the bath and you just kind of work it out, you know, and manage your business. I'm not saying it's fun. I'm just saying I also don't, you know, they look pretty haggy. Can you see these? They're like, they really are a little like claws right now. But
mine are like uneven and they're horrible. My fingernails are like my hair. I mean, it just like a weed and they're just strong. And I've never been like a peely fingernail person.
Yeah.
Like when they break, they go and they break.
It's like your, it's like your fingernails and your hair reflect your personality.
Yeah, probably. I break.
Yes,
and then
exactly. Exactly. Watch me grow back.
Watch me grow back. Oh my goodness.
Well, that's a perfect segue into our conversation today, because when we were kind of peppering back and forth what we wanted to talk about, what was the most forefront on both of our minds was gardening, growing vegetables, flowers, farming, yeah. like all the homestead happenings right now. So, I mean, we haven't really been able to talk this weekend. So tell me, like, what's happening on your farm right now?
No, we have some serious dirt dishing.
As it were.
As it were. I finished my pond.
Okay.
My little
pond. You haven't even told us you were putting in a pond. So why don't you expand on that a bit?
Okay. Well, yeah, I have this circle. When I designed the garden a few years ago, I had this circle in the center and I wanted to make it a pond. And Joel said, please, can we wait a few years? He's very cautious about children and drownings.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Okay. We did talk about that.
Yep. Remember that? So yes, sorry. Finally, yes. We dug it, hit the bedrock 12 inches down. And so it's just been sitting there for about 2 weeks, probably just this hole in the ground, wondering what we're going to do. And we had a bunch of property, probably 3/4 of an acre cleared last week in the back, which was amazing. And the guy, he's like, oh, I have some extra pond liner if you need it. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll take it.
Yeah.
So I unfurled all these pieces in the front lawn, and sure enough, one of them was big enough to fit my pond. And so,
oh, so you didn't have to patch it?
Well, here's what I did. I laid it over the top, and then I did the thing where you kind of like squish it down and you have the drape over.
Okay.
And a couple sides were a little bit short. So I called the hardware store for a curbside pickup, and I said, I need the biggest, nastiest black Gorilla tape that you have, the stickiest stuff you have. So I trimmed the overhang that was really, really long, and I patched with Gorilla tape the overhang that was short. But now it's not going to be a submerged in water. It was just going to be over the top. Okay. But I wanted more than an inch. So
sure.
It's all good. And then I gathered stones from all over the place and cut wild thyme and nudged it in the corners. I mean, it looks like it's been there for 100 years. Hello.
Hello.
And
good for you.
I'm so happy. It's like right in the center and I can see it from my bedroom window. And I told Joel, I said, you know, and I know you'll resonate with this. These ideas that we have, you and I think are very much the same in that we're visionary. We get an idea falling asleep at night and it just becomes a part of our being.
Yes.
And it has to come out.
It doesn't have to.
It has to.
No, it's like having a baby. Get it out.
I always liken it to vomit where you're just like, this is going to come out one way or another. So like... gird your loins.
But it's like, yeah, it is like pregnancy though, where you're like, okay, is this thing ever going to come out? Is this thing ever going to happen?
Yes.
Am I ever going to have this baby? Am I going to be perpetually pregnant with these ideas forever? Or are they going to come to fruition? So when something finally does, I don't know about you, but I'm just, it's like when you see, and I do know how I feel about my children. I'm not trying to equate gardening or an idea to the blessing of offspring. But when you see an idea come to fruition, you're like, there it is.
Mm-hmm. I totally know that feeling. That is my idea. Yes.
And there it is. And I know we've talked about this, like our frustration of being women and like, we need men, you need manpower. Like mm-hmm. you cannot implement these ideas on your own. And so when you finally get one to come out, or it is a project like this where I did like 90% of this project, it feels so good to stand back and look at it. And this pond was the crux. It was like the center of my garden design 2 years ago.
Right.
Even just in looking at the house before we bought it, I thought, well, there's the front door. And if I line up right here, boop, I could put a pond right there. And that will be the focal point, center core of the garden.
Yes.
And so to go 2 years with just like this sort of mangy flower bed that I really didn't have my heart into. So I never did anything really legitimate with it.
Yeah.
And now to have this glistening feature in the middle. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I just can't even. Mm. I'm just standing around and staring at it. It's ridiculous.
Remind me, the flower beds that sort of surround that central pond. So you've got... Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at Angela's property, think of it like in your mind, like a big square. Okay. Now break that square up into 4 smaller squares. okay? And then put a pond right smack in the middle of those four squares, okay? It's roughly kind of like just this one garden. Stop looking at me like that. It's that one garden, okay? Those four squares that surround that central pond, will you remind me, are those vegetable beds or are those flower beds?
Well, they have been veg.
Okay.
Up until this point.
Okay.
But when you're standing next to the pond now, I was telling the girls, there's arbors on all four pathways. I said, now yes. I want to plant like a, what is it? Japanese holly. What's the one that grows really tall, but looks kind of like box? I think it's called Japanese holly. I want to plant on those curves. And so when you walk into that center, you're kind of in the pond room.
Yes. That's so French. That's such a French design.
But they'll grow tall. They won't be low like the box. They'll grow tall.
Yeah.
And then I was actually thinking of putting a couple big shrub roses in the center of each of those four squares.
Yeah.
And then just underplanting just with hundreds of lavender.
Yes.
Those are going to be my lavender beds, yes. I think. Because now, as I texted you today, we're putting in raised beds. And then that's where more,
that's where the veg will grow.
Veg
yeah.
will go.
Yeah. yeah.
It's a heady time, I got to tell you.
I know. It's so hard when you can't. This is a hard time of year because your mind is just reeling with possibilities and goals and ideas. And the reality is physically and mentally and monetarily, it all takes input to come into fruition.
Oh, man.
And it is so challenging to find that marriage between what you want to do and what you can do, you know, and
yeah,
whether it be financially or physically, because we've, you know, like we've talked about before, we homesteaded on rental properties for years and years and years. And it's just been for the last 4 years that we've been on our property where we can bring these ideas into fruition with a more permanent and bigger, you know, scale of application. But the problem with that is they're just like pop, 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 pop in my brain all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this balance between like, what can we actually physically do while we're homeschooling four young children and running a business and making sure we eat and that people have clean laundry, like necessities. And then also, you know, and I'm sure this thought has crept into your mind, but with everything going on with the world right now with COVID, I spent, you know, 3 hours out there this afternoon planting snapdragons and thinking, should I be planting carrots or, you know, like, yeah. something else instead. And obviously I made my decision. I planted those plugs proudly, but it does sort of make you think this balance between function and beauty, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then the book I was listening to was talking about all the different uses for herbs that you could use. And I'm like, okay.
Heck yeah.
It's like if push comes to shove, there's a lot in these beds. Rose, yarrow, lavender, like all kinds of stuff that you could draw from if need be, which is, you know, equally awesome in its own way.
Yeah. I'm pretty geeked about where we're at with the whole structure of the garden. You know, the pond didn't cost anything. We did another project today that is not costing us anything besides an old roll of landscape fabric that I found. I have this section of trees off the side of the garden and they make way too much shade. I've told you this before. They make like a little microclimate in the back. It's just really cool back there. And it's no bueno. Even though the sun does hit it for a good 6 hours a day, it's just totally different than 25 feet away.
Right.
So Joel is clearing those trees and we're making like Lincoln log raised beds. Mm-hmm. They look like little log cabins.
They're so cute.
Oh my gosh. So I'm taking all the boxes from any trees or anything that's been coming in the mail from Amazon or whatever and putting them down because the problem is we have so much wild oregano. And I told Joel, I said, look, with COVID, with everything that's happening, I cannot risk another mediocre harvest.
Right.
I have to do my due diligence to these seeds and what I know how to do.
Right.
But I cannot do it planting in a weed patch of wild oregano that's invasive and it's like Medusa's hair.
It is. It's like crabgrass.
It is like crabgrass. Yeah. It grows out and then up.
Yeah.
It's awful. So that was our project today. We're going to put in about 11 or 12 of them, and we got 1.5 done today.
You're on your way.
Awesome. Yeah, we're just cutting down these huge trees and Lincoln-logging them out, and then we have big compost piles from last year's barn droppings.
Yeah. And so is that kind of your goal this year with the garden, is food production?
No. it's 50-50.
Okay.
It's 50-50. I mean, it's just the garden is 2 years old, 3 weeks ago. That's the first time we made a move to do anything. So I feel like because I made such investment into it, like in, you know, January or November, even ordering roses before we knew all this garbage was going to happen.
Right.
I have to do my due diligence with the money that I've spent.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him, I'm like, I can't just risk another like cabbage crop invaded by chaos. We have all the resources right here.
Yes.
We just cut the trees down. We notch them out.
Yes. And that's it.
We fill them with manure and some dirt.
It's resourcefulness. It's not.
It's total resourceful. It's crazy.
It's not go out and spend a bunch of money at Lowe's.
No.
Or go buy even like treated lumber. You know, and in that vein, like what we've been doing here is the same thing, but with the resources that we have here. I mean, we are in a high desert and we are not in a heavily wooded area where we are at specifically. But what we have is this beautiful basalt rock everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our raised beds are lined with rock because that's what we have. And if we don't have enough, that's what we can get for super cheap. And so I love that idea because a lot of people look around and think, oh, well, must be nice. And
heck no.
I loved Monty Don's Instagram a few weeks ago where he was making a wattle fence out of hazel trimmings from his hazel patch. And somebody commented, oh, must be nice, Monty, to have all that hazel on hand. And they said it in a very sarcastic way with a nasty emoji. And Monty said, I planted this grove 25 years ago. You know, in his very like dry British way of being like, it's not must be nice.
No apologies.
It's I put in the work 25 years ago. And like now I'm getting to reap the harvest of it. Jerk. But you know, the same could be true for a garden. I mean, I've confessed this before. I've had bad gardens for years and I've tried to learn to grow things bad for years. But to discount the resourcefulness and just pure drive and ingenuity that goes into creating something truly beautiful and productive cannot be understated, because that's what it comes down to. Just sheer determination to figure it out, whatever that may look like for your area. It's not about having a massive budget to be able to go fill with a bunch of starts. A perfect example of that would be people who are vegetable gardening this year. Starting stuff from seed is astronomically cheaper than starting stuff from, you know, vegetable starts from Lowe's or what have you. That's how I started until I knew what I was doing.
Heck yeah.
But when you're trying to actually grow a legitimate amount of food to feed your family, for example, when we grow cabbages, we grow 150 linear feet of cabbages roughly per year. Okay. And that's a lot, but that's how much we need to eat cabbage between harvests.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to go and buy that many starts at Lowe's, it would cost me more money than just buying cabbage at the store.
Oh my goodness.
But you learn to start something like that from seed and you put in a little bit of extra work on the front ends and you're able to reap something for such a greater cost, you know, harvest benefit, for lack of a better word. And I think that's a big part of it. And I think that's a big part of where we're at now. I think that's a lot of where our even listeners are at now, you know, because I'll tell you one thing, ladies, it is not chic to be in debt or to have like a negative bank account. Right. Not that both of us haven't been there before, but certainly I wouldn't go there to put a garden in.
No, there's so many. I mean, I think for anybody, you come up with your idea, you think about what you want to do, and I just look at it and I go, how can I do this cheaper? Mm-hmm. What do I have laying around here? What do I have? And not everybody's got, you know, stuff laying around, but everybody's got something. Everybody's got Craigslist. Leaves that they can gather to mulch their, you know, their beds. Yeah, there's Craigslist. People are like, get these bricks off of my property. Mm-hmm. You know, just come and get them. Mm-hmm. And that's when you just take your sedan, you mm-hmm. empty the trunk, and you make four trips. And you fill that poor little car as heavy as it can go. I've done it before with garbage cans to the swanky, posh horse farm. And I would just pull up with all Rubbermaids and children crammed into a vehicle. Garbage cans, recycle bins. I'd give every kid a shovel, start shoveling. One day we made like 4, 5, 6 trips in one day. Back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. Mm-hmm. Just...
Yep.
Because we didn't have anything like that. We had no compost resource for our garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did that one year.
Where there is a will, there is a way. I tell you what.
It's true. It's true. I completely agree with that philosophy. And okay, so 50-50 gardens to flowers. I would say, I would say our efforts are pretty much the same this year. You know, we're working really hard on adding in flushing out our flower beds with a bunch of just beautiful herbs and flowers and roses and all kinds of magical things, which I would argue is worth every single ounce of effort. So this morning, you know, it was Sunday and obviously our church is meeting online. We're not actually going to church. So I slept in and Stu brought me coffee. And I didn't want to get out of bed because I was luxuriating in my fabulous sheets, like American Blossom linens. We said this. I was just luxuriating, and the sun had come up, and it was just this. I don't know what you call the golden hour that's in the morning. What do you call that? Morning golden hour. Let's call it that.
Okay.
The gardens had just been watered, and the sun was just coming up, but the bumblebees were out, and they were just busy on the currant bushes and honeyberry bushes. And I just had this like momentary seizure of happiness where it was like these apricot tulips and all different varieties of narcissus and daffodils and bumblebees, and our flowering pear tree is just going crazy right now. I mean, everything beautiful you could imagine, the rooster crowing, these little pockets of pure ecstasy. And I thought, vegetables feed your body, but flowers feed your soul. Truly. Amen, truly.
I'm so jealous. Like, I have like a couple narcissus or crocus blooming.
Okay.
And the hyacinth are just coming up. Yeah. So I know
you're just a few weeks behind. You're just a few weeks behind, but. And the 1,000 tulip bulbs that we planted last September are very healthy and strong, but totally the wrong shade of orange for my garden. I don't have, I'm like Tasha Tudor. I don't have strong colors in my garden. So I don't have straight up reds. I don't have hot pinks. I don't have bright oranges or bright yellows. Everything is, I won't say it's all pastel, but it's not like primary kind of shades. All these tulips came up and they're beautiful. Even when they're starting to open, there's still this soft apricot color, which is what I wanted. But then when they bloom open, they're bright orange. And I go out like 3 times a day and just cut off all these tulips. And I have the most beautiful tulip bouquets all over my house. It's like the bathroom gets a tulip bouquet. The bedrooms get a tulip bouquet. The living room gets a tulip bouquet. And I would never normally do that. So there's still a silver lining there. But yes, I would still say our efforts are probably 50-50. I've given a little bit more attention to the flowers lately. Guilty. I've got onions and cabbages that really need to go into the ground. But vegetables are sometimes a little bit more patient than flowers. So. I'll get there. Did you get garlic planted last year?
In the greenhouse.
Did you get your garlic planted? Is it coming up at all? Why are you laughing?
It's making me laugh because our Zoom call is off. And so on my end, you're speaking in total slow motion.
Oh.
And I'm just like, when do I talk?
She's so just funny. Sitting at
there. You are.
She's just sitting at the screen, smiling.
No,
at
I did
me.
Not plant garlic last year.
Why?
That's what I wondered. I'm like, I wonder what it looks like on her end. Like, I'm just sitting here staring at you. I don't know. Procrastination.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
A lot of times, like, I get my mind set on something that I want, and then by the time it's sold out, and then a kid needs me, and I am not at the computer anymore, and I'm terrible. I don't have asparagus in still after 2 years on this property, and I don't have garlic. And no currant bushes yet. Oh. Like, there's a few things on my list where I'm like, come on, Ange, get with it. Can you hear my kids? They all just came inside. Wow.
Like, I don't hear them. What I was going to say is be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself. You're 2 years in. Come on.
Yeah. And it was not like we just tilled up a yard. I mean, it's just like major
overhaul
movement.
Yeah.
Overhaul.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of going back to that stone hauling, you know, a lot of moving a lot of lumber.
Yes.
You know, these huge logs like end over end and a lot of moving stone. I went out to the orchard wall again yesterday with the minivan. Mm. We are kind of against a snowmobile route. And so I can pull the van down on the opposite side of our orchard wall and pillage it from that side. Mm. So just
I
big
love
rocks
that.
And trying to have enough to work with. So
I'm kind of getting inspired right now to, I get like this every year, but I'm really feeling that just like carnal need to fill the root cellar. Like, this is the lowest point in food that we're at throughout the year for the most part, because stuff is just in the garden. You know, in a few weeks we'll have radishes and as much greens as we could eat. But right now we still have a lot in our root cellar. We still have parsnips from last year. We still have cabbages, carrots, beets, garlic, onions, and then of course we have our beautiful freezer fulls of meat. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But I'm just, it feels like it's been ages since we had our slabs of bacon hanging from the raft. I knew you were going to do that. And our prosciuttos and our lard supply is getting really low. And you guys, I'm going to weep.
I made something yesterday and I said, Joel, this is where I would get out the roll of pancetta. Yeah. And I would slice off pancetta for this. I know there's about 10 cabbages left. There's like one tub of beets and carrots and the top got pushed away. So the tops are all
mushy.
It's all moldy on the top.
Yeah.
So I got to like clean off the top. And this morning we had beets with breakfast. And yesterday we had cabbage with tacos. And the kids like, I don't, some of them pay attention, some of them don't. I'm like, you guys realize this is still our food from last year, right? Like,
oh, I make
still
a
killing it
big
here.
Stink about it.
Like, this is a big
deal. This is a deal. Big deal. But that feeling,
and
like,
you get out the cabbage and they're like, we can eat that.
Yeah. Just cut off all the outside bits. That's actually our YouTube video this week, is what we're still eating on from last year, because I want people to see what a carrot that looks like after it's been in storage for 9 months, you know.
I can't wait
to
see
a beet
that video.
Or a cabbage, or, you know, even like a lot of the onions are bolting at this point, but I pulled them out in July of last year. I mean, God bless them. They are such workhorses. And until my green onions, you know, really take off, even though they're planted, I've just been going downstairs and hacking off the sprouting onions. I'm like, look, scallions, boom.
You know, you said that to me the other day.
Yeah.
We were on the phone while I was making breakfast and I just thought, Ange, duh. So I went downstairs and I lopped off the top of my onions and I'm like, there you go. Yeah. There's some scallions with your scrambled eggs.
Right? This happens every year because, as it should, the pantries are getting empty, right? We've got like a lot lower supply of jam than I feel comfortable with. My family is a big jam family.
Do you guys do like a jar at a meal?
It's
my
a jar
kids
a meal.
Just clean out. Yeah.
But we do honey sweetened jam and we do this like really old, cool way I learned to make jam on River Cottage. So if you guys aren't familiar with River Cottage, it was a show started by Hugh Faring Whittingstall, who was a very successful London businessman who decided he wanted to move out to the country about 25 years ago. And River Cottage you can watch it on YouTube. It's a show about him learning how to do those things, learning how to be a farmer and you know, grow food, grow animals, such and such. It was,
but like, watch it from the beginning.
Watch it from the beginning.
Like, YouTube, like River Cottage season one, episode one, and start at the beginning because it is an education in and of itself.
Yes. It was probably the most significant puzzle piece in our journey to doing what we're doing. I fell in love. And it's a big part, I think, of why we do things the way that we do them now, because River Cottage isn't about the easiest or cheapest. It's about skills and quality and enjoyment and all of the beautiful things. But I remember watching an old lady teach Hugh how to make jam. She did hers with sugar. I do mine with honey. But, you know, back in the day, they just used to heat it up really hot, boil, 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 put it in a sterilized jar, put the lid on, flip it over.
Flip it.
And I remember thinking, huh, well, that's not the way that Ball says to do it. So I went round and round and round on the internet, you know, and basically there's two camps.
Ball says check your extension office and you will die.
There's two parties. There's two ditches. One is that you follow Ball's thing accordingly. And if you do it any other way, you're going to die.
And kill your family.
And kill your family with botulism.
In 5 minutes.
Or you're going to do it this way that people have been doing it forever, which is just use, it's just heat packing, you know? And before they had metal canning lids, they would use intestines.
Paraffin. Stretch them over the top.
Totally. Yeah. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to try it. Now, the cool thing this method of doing it is that if something doesn't seal, it ain't hard to figure it out. It just doesn't seal. It's like you'll open the jam, and this has only happened a couple times, but you open it up and it'll just have been molded. So it's not like, does this have botulism? Doesn't it have botulism? You're still adding a lot of sugar to it. Anyway, sorry, that was a rabbit trail. My point is the jam shelf is getting empty. That was my point. And I
would love to do it old school like that with the paraffin and the Lerp. Le Parfait jars.
Yes. Don't go to eBay and buy them, because that's where I go buy them. And if you buy them all, listeners, I'm going to be mad.
No, I wish I would have been. I used to buy them at thrift shops in Chicagoland, but just because I liked them a lot.
Yes.
But then one day I just fell in love with them. And by the that buffet. Point, it was too late.
Yes.
They're my favorite.
Yeah. I collect
they're
them.
They're so expensive.
They are.
They're so expensive. See, all my old ones, like, I've broken them. Yeah. I think I have like one left. Yeah. It's really, really sad. Hey, we should get them to sponsor the show.
Ooh, yeah. If you guys don't know what we're talking about a certain brand of glass jar.
The way you feel about.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
It's L-E.
They know. I mean, like, P-A-R-F-A-I-T. Old glass jar that, like, the lid is attached and springs back and forth. It has the red or the orange kind of rubber seal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's it. And on the side in script, it says Le Parfait.
Yeah.
And on the bottom, it says Made in France.
Well, in that.
Quelle surprise.
Okay. So in that sort of, I say this a lot on the podcast, I realize. I don't know if you guys have ever listened to yourself talk for an hour. It's not the most wonderful thing in the world. In that vein, we kind of went old school a couple of years back. Well, because frankly, I got tired of always running to the store for canning lids. Always trying to figure out if it was a new lid or an old lid. And I got tired of bringing out my water canner because it is hot as Hades here in the summertime. And my kitchen is hot. And I don't like heating up the water canner if I don't have to. So last year I decided all my salsa is going to be lacto-fermented, kept in the refrigerator instead. All my preserved tomatoes and fennel and roasted red peppers, everything is going to be either sealed, like you were talking about them using paraffin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another way that they used to do it is with fat. So either melted lard or melted olive oil, you know, olive oil or whatever. Because basically, if they put something in a jar and then put fat over the top, oxygen can't get in. And oxygen is what, you know, ruins food. And so I did that. I roasted my cherry tomatoes. I seasoned them. I packed them into a glass jar and I topped the whole thing off with olive oil, put a lid on and put it in my refrigerator. And you can just go in and just scoop some out, you know, use what you want to use and then, you know, pat them down, put maybe put a little bit more oil on to make sure it's always, there's no food exposed to the air. That mm-hmm. has worked so well, so well, and saved me so much time.
So, I mean, that's how I do my sun-dried tomatoes.
Yes.
So you're doing...
Yeah, I just do it with like, I just roast the tomatoes or bell peppers. Okay. I'll roast them and peel them, cut them into strips, season them, pack them into jars with olive oil. It's fabulous. And it's so much easier to me than water canning.
Water canning is a thankless job.
It is.
It's awful. It is
five jars horrendous. At a time and you're thinking, wow, one of my kids will eat that in one sitting. They'll eat that exactly. in one sitting.
And we put in a summer kitchen last year, which helped a little bit, but I still hate it. I absolutely hate canning. I hate it. I'm just going to say
yes,
that.
I do too.
Don't like it.
Yes, I do too.
I don't like it at all.
But I can a lot. You can a lot.
Mm-hmm. I do. I just don't like it.
Yeah. So we do our jams without water canning, which is really helpful because that's how we preserve a lot of our fruit. The kids can do that. It's really simple. Doing the oil pack, I call it the oil pack method. I don't know if that's what it's actually called for vegetables is really helpful for not having.
So how are you doing your jams then?
Just with honey. I do use honey and pectin. You boil, put it in a jar, put the lid on, flip it over. Let it seal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I missed that.
But right. So you don't have to get out your water canner and submerge the jars and that whole deal. And then last year I gave up doing like pickled asparagus, pickled green beans, pickles, pickled peppers. I gave up doing all that and decided.
But you're doing barrel pickles.
I am.
Right?
I'm lacto fermenting okay. instead.
Yeah. Barrel pickles are.
They're phenomenal.
I can't even.
And I'm sorry. Do you want to like.
My kid.
I'm trying to describe this without using an inappropriate word.
Okay.
But I'll just say it. It's kind of. Okay.
I'm looking at
you
her.
You know
like,
what
I'm
gonna say.
Gonna
you know
say?
What I'm gonna say.
I don't actually.
I can't say it. It's deeply satisfying. It's deeply satisfying to go down into your cellar or whatever kind of storage you have and get out a barrel pickle or a jar of jam. Like, it is so much more than the sum of its parts to do something old fashioned that required thought and consideration and skill, and then, you know, preserves to feed your family another day. Like, that is satisfying.
It is true. Even yesterday, just, you know, I made my, you know, signature scrambled eggs with the onions and all that jazz. And I just was like, well, let's have some beets with this. And it is strangely, even though you can just go to the store and buy them, you know, in theory.
Yeah.
So satisfying to plunk that jar mm-hmm. down on the table. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, my yeah. kids love it and they remember. And
yeah,
I'm actually extremely proud of my beets. My beet brine is a force to be reckoned with. So
yum. Well,
but yeah, the barrel pickles, yeah. the kids, they beg for them. I have to ration them. I want to get to the point where everyone in the family can have one a day.
Yeah.
How many crocks do you think I would need for that?
Three, four.
A bunch. 5 gallons.
4 or 5 gallons.
4 or 5 gallons.
Yeah. Yeah. I am still working on perfecting my barrel pickles. I would love to get your recipe for that.
I just layer the snot out of them. I go out in the forest or on the edge of the property, even at our old place, you know, there's always wild grapevines and stuff. I just grab all the grapevines. Nasturtiums, flowers, garlic.
Yeah, baby.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I just layer. Oh my goodness. Yeah. It makes me so happy.
Oh, that sounds so good. See, I'm gearing up. I can, like, as you're saying this, mm-hmm. I can feel my pulse start to. Can you hear the frog? There are frogs in my pond, ladies and gentlemen. Frogs.
I pushed my earphones down.
It is like a chorus.
I did hear that.
God bless.
Oh, I can't wait.
I tell you what, it's about all I can take. But no,
when you were saying that.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. When you were saying that about River Cottage, about that being like a kind of a catalyst for you, that's what Victorian Farm did for me.
Victorian Farm. Yes.
That's like when Joel was working until like one in the morning, and I would just binge this show for hours. And I was like, this is my life. This is what I'm meant to do. We were like in suburbia. I just thought, I have to get out of here. I have to do these skills. I have to learn all these crazy skills. I have to. Mm-hmm. It was just like this springboard. And we would watch it, the kids and I, and they were much younger, and my heart would like start to pound. We would get so excited, just like this feeling we have now about like filling the larder, filling the root cellar. Just And then you introduced me to River Cottage, and I'm like, well, cottage.
Yeah.
This is overload.
Yeah. Victorian farm, Edwardian farm, wartime farm, monastery farm, Tudor monastery farm. So these are all shows that were done. They're BBC shows. Go YouTube them.
I think right now, Shay, if anybody was going to watch anything, I mean, not to say don't watch River Cottage, but if anybody is just needing some a fortitude check, dare I say it?
Yes.
And some, you know, like, okay, let's have a bootstraps moment here.
Yes.
We can make it through this. They need to watch. I would watch. And you're wanting to garden and things like that. And pull together as a family and or a community, I would say watch Wartime Farm.
Look at, right now. Can you see my goosebumps in you saying that?
Yeah, I think that is the one that as a culture, we would do well to sink our teeth into.
Right, I had no idea until watching that show how much control the government had over farmers in Britain at the time, in the time of the war, in terms of ration, in terms of like, you can have this animal, you can't have this animal, grow this crop, don't grow this crop.
You won't grow that.
We're going to need some of this. You're going to need to give this to your community. I was blown away by that.
And I found it like, I mean, I don't want to go off on a, you know, rabbit trail, but like really disconcerting because I think Winston Churchill is amazing. Yes. But then when I heard those things, it made me like cringe. Yes. Liberty.
I know.
And all that.
It's like you're an American underneath it all.
Yeah, right? I do think, you know.
Yeah, no, I know like, what you mean.
None of us are sewing dresses out of our potato sacks here. So let's just all just simmer down and watch Wartime Farm.
I agree. I agree. The problem I have with watching shows like that, particularly with Edwardian Farm, and I'm not sure why that one struck me out of all of them.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I was so entranced with all the skills, the like the stomach,
the wicker basket,
the wicker basket. Was that the one where they did like the trout thing? And I mean, the thatched roof.
Yes, so they're like, oh, let's block off a stream and try to sprout trout
or
eggs
hatching eggs with candles. And like, I,
oh, for the love.
But the problem is I would watch it at night. And then when I feel like I'm going to overreact to something, I call it a seizure. So I just like had this like excitement seizure for all the things that I had to do. But then I would look at like my you know, laptop or my light switch. And I'm just like, screw you. I got stuff to do. Give me a candle. You know, I need a linen skirt and I need a candle. And like, I couldn't bear the transition back into our modern life. It pained me. Why is that? What is it?
I'm an old soul. I think you're an old soul. And I think it's not out of like naivete where you go, oh, things were so much prettier back then and things were simpler. Absolutely not. It didn't have
modern dentistry.
Modern dentistry. Okay. Feminine supplies. The list goes on and on and on. But when you like subtract, when you take out all those conveniences, those modern conveniences, like I think you're really parboiling yourself down as a human being. And so when you remove all of those things, the distraction,
you trim the fat
noise,
in a way,
as you call it.
Yeah.
Then you kind of get down to the crux of who you are.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think for a lot of us, the reason we choose homesteading, the reason we choose to fuss with a sourdough starter instead of just going to the store and buying a loaf of bread, or we choose to learn how to sprout seeds or start seeds instead of just buying a head of cabbage, because it'd be just so much easier. I mean, they're just there for the taking, 79 cents a pound or whatever, you know, is because we just have this deep craving to really know who we are and what we're capable of.
Seriously, and that is it.
I think that's, I mean, that's something that's really systemic in me, is when I see something, I'm not content with just enjoying it. I want to know how to do it. And I don't know if that's a pride thing. I don't know what, like,
I think it's just a hunger for knowledge and learning.
Yeah. I mean, like, even like just something as simple as the macaron cookie in France. Mm-hmm. Like, I tasted that and I wasn't like, oh, yay, I'll have to come back and have one of these again in 3 years. Yeah. I thought, well, I have to go home and learn how to do this. That's all.
Yep.
I have to know how to do this.
And that's so, kind of the posture you have to have as a homesteader.
Yeah. But I think it's like really kind of, we want to know, what are we capable of? Am I capable? Like, before, if you would have asked me 10 years ago, would you lift the lid off a beehive and stare at 20,000 bees in the face? I'd be like, are you nuts? Mm-hmm. You know, but then you kind of get to the point where you're like, hey, I'm ready to take that on. I'm ready to see if I can do that.
Yeah. So I actually called Angela earlier this week crying. No. Yeah, I know, right? And not out of sadness, but I don't know if you listeners can relate to this, but the world is humming right now. But it's deafening to me. It's I feel like I'm on, like I'm drunk on a carousel and I'm just like, whoa, like, what is even happening? And there's just lights and noise and opinions and, you know, deception. And like, there's just too much. And so I called Angela earlier this week and I just said, we've decided as a family, we're still working out the logistics of this because obviously, but we decided we're going to shut off our electricity for a week as a family. And we're trying to work out the logistics of recording a podcast and putting up YouTube videos and, you know, how we make our living. But I think it goes back to what you said, Ange, of just like, I don't want to be so bound to my creaturely comforts, as my pastor calls them, that I can't have the fortitude to have a good attitude or to power through. You know, perfect example, I'll just be vulnerable. I have a latte every single day at like 10 o'clock. And if I don't get my latte, I am grouchy. I'm hungry earlier than I normally would be for lunch. I don't have that nice little caffeine rush. It's not comforting. So I get grouchy. It's just the way it is. And I'm, on one hand, I am so grateful, truly, that I get to have some milk from CC and some honey from the bees and a little caffeine. Deeply grateful. Also, I am in no way guaranteed that that's going to continue for the rest of my life. Am I going to let something like that damage my character because I can't muster the strength to conquer that creaturely comfort? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Even something like electricity, okay? Our house is heated with electricity. We keep it at a cozy 70 degrees all the time.
Oh my gosh, I know. That is too I know. Hot, girl.
One time I spent the night at Angela's and froze my face off. So I've known now that I need to pack like flannel underwear if I'm ever going to go stay with her, because she keeps it like 50 degrees. My point is simply, I don't want to be a wuss. And the creaturely comforts that you're used to every day, they can make you soft. Even if it means like throwing an extra blanket on your bed or not having your sweet milk, God forbid.
For sure.
You know, or, you know, we talked about my fear of the dark a couple episodes ago. I want to be the type of person who can just like, oh, the cows are out. Okay, go out in the dark by yourself and not be fearful. Like, just, you have just this gritty strength, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that's how I want to tackle not only homesteading, but life. Because when something comes and knocks you off a bit, you kind of got to be able to boister that just warrior spirit that's within. Whether you're growing onions or, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I sleep in a bedroom that's 42 degrees in the winter. So
yes,
I get it with just wanting to be able to summon a certain part of you, you know, and I know, you know, for you. Yeah.
But to feel cold and to feel hot.
I didn't know you were that afraid of the
dark.
And
to feel scared. My point is, like, I just don't, I don't want to be this always 70 degrees, never afraid. Like, I want to feel the hot. I want to feel the cold. I want to feel fear in a good way. You know, I want to feel strong and challenged. And I mean, truly, whether that means like I'm going to learn how to butcher an animal or I'm going to learn how to milk a cow for the first time, which is scary. Like, if you're not used to being up under a cow squeezing teats, like, that's kind of a scary thing to do. So are you going to be the type of person that has the fortitude to charge forward with something like that? And I so badly want that for my children. And so when they act entitled, like, I just go off the deep end. I'm like, shut off the electricity.
Oh, my poor kids. Oh, they're like, here she goes again. Because I'm like, get rid of it all.
We're using lamb's ear for toilet paper.
Okay. Exactly.
It's chicken gizzards from here on out.
Why do you think that is? I mean, why do you think... I mean, I think, you know, like I said before, like you and I have chosen like a certain sort of lifestyle. And I think each step of the way for that was challenging. Okay, we started off buying starts from the store and then we learned how to grow seeds and then we learned how to butcher an animal. And then maybe we learned, I mean, I remember like not to be TMI, but like the first time you have to help an animal give birth and you're up to your elbow in somebody else's business. Yeah. That is not somewhere where this Nordstrom shopping girl thought she would ever be. Okay. I couldn't even cut a chicken up for dinner, let alone cut a chicken up. You know what I mean? Like it's, I think you kind of get to the point where you say, okay, well, I've examined this aspect of my fortitude or I've learned how to grow whatever, potatoes in my suburban backyard. Like how can I take this to the next level? And I think, going without electricity and doing a little off-grid thing, you know, would be cool. I didn't know you guys were doing it for a week. We used to do it for a couple of days at a time because we had friends that lived off-grid and we visited them and it was so inspiring. We would come back like, get rid of everything. Mm-hmm. Get out the oil lamps. You know, it was just so...
Well, the funny thing is I thought my kids would push back against it, but they are all in. And Owen even asked me if I would dig him a hole outside that he could use for the bathroom. So that we have to use indoor plumbing. And it's not that I'm not grateful for these things. People would pay with their firstborn child to have access to a tap with hot water on it. I don't mean to be regressive in my thinking. I simply want to remember that all these things are gifts. They are not guarantees. And they are a blessing. But I want to have the character with or without them. Right? That's kind of what it comes down to. So yeah, I think the family is excited about it. They're, you know, gearing up in their own ways. But we got to work out the logistics of it. It might be not fully because we do work online. And what would our homemaker chic listeners do without us for two episodes?
We would have to record in advance.
No, I can't think that far ahead. But it's true. You know, one thing that Stuart always says to me when I get all nostalgic and weird, he always says the problem isn't that you're not where you need to be. It's that you're not who you need to be where you are. She's thinking. I think that is true.
You always know that.
Because
do my eyes make a certain they do. Like, do I make a certain
The reality
face?
Is we live, you know, in the 21st century, in modern day America, living our lives, you know, with our iMacs and our iPhones and refrigeration. And, you know, that is where we are. And I'm not going to run for the hills and pretend like none of that exists. That's not the point. The point is to develop the character traits that we could look back on from somebody, let's say, in the past, you know, even like Winston Churchill, you know, like picking out character traits that we like that is timeless. whether you have refrigeration, mm-hmm. whether you have your daily latte, like he had XYZ. And that is the type of character that I want to apply towards homesteading, towards mothering, towards marriage, towards work, towards whatever it is.
I think timeless is a great word.
Thank you.
I think timeless is a great adjective for those cravings that you can't quite articulate. And it sounds frivolous, but whether they be, we've talked about timeless fashion.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're, that you do find yourself craving things that are timeless. I think that's the perfect word.
So what I'm craving right now is a larder full of blood, sweat, and tear harvested food.
Oh my gosh. Like you said, I miss the bacon hanging from the ceiling.
I'm going out swinging this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's going to be a good year, I think. We'll see. Always surprises on the homestead, but in theory, it's going to be a great year.
That's what we all said in January 1st.
Homemaker Chic listeners, we would love to hear what your homemaker goals are for this year. What are you growing? What are you eating? I remember when my goal was as big as finding under the bed storage tubs so that I could buy extra potatoes from my market and store them in those bins underneath the beds. And that was as big as my goal could be. So no goal is too small. Please.
I did that a couple years ago. I asked the farmer's market, I'm like, how much? If I come in next week and buy 150 pounds, shoot me a price, I'll bring my own tubs. Let's do this.
Yep. Exactly. Learn to make one thing, learn to try one thing, learn one skill that you can kind of develop over the season, whatever it may be. But we are a homemaker chic and we go down swinging.
You're almost done.
Yeah. And share with us. What do you
think? He was being silly. He said, "You're almost done," holding his rolls of toilet paper.
Share with us, for those of you that follow us on Instagram, tag us on a story. If there's something you're doing this week or a skill that you're developing or a book you're reading about a skill that you're wanting to develop, some sort of aspect of your own personal fortitude that you would like to take to the next level, tag us.
I think, and I think that's
Homemaker Chic podcast.
I think that's perfect because there is no amount of time that we could spend talking to you on this podcast to teach you how to do all the things. Which is why this isn't a how-to podcast. Even if you were, there is simply no replacement for doing it. And just having the type of personality that's like, I'm going to charge forward with this come hell or high water. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have the money for a pond. I'm going to build one. Like, watch me do it. Mm-hmm. I'll figure it out. I'll get creative. I will charge forward. You know, I'm going to see this to the finish line. Regardless of what that takes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, baby. My heart is pumping. Ooh. Yes.
Got the vapors.
A huge thank you to this episode's sponsors, tubesandco.com. Make sure you check them out for your natural skincare and makeup needs and use a coupon code HOMEMAKER for 10% off.
And AmericanBlossomLinens.com and check out Homemaker Chic 20 when you check out for 20% off and sleep. Fabulous. You're working hard. You're improving your fortitude. You're developing new skills, which means you're going to hit those sheets like a brick.
Yes.
And you need to sleep on organic, American made and grown cotton.
That will last for so long. Love them. Fabulous. Yeah. Well, ladies, thank you for joining us here tonight. Please do make sure to tag us on Instagram at Homemaker Chic Podcast with what creaturely comforts you're challenging, what fortitude you're charging forward with, and make sure to check out patreon.com/homemakerchicpodcast, where you can learn how to support the podcast through a $5 or $10 a month donation. We got fun stuff going on there. We're getting ready to schedule our live Q&A hangout session this week, which is going to be a blast. So make sure you check out patreon.com/homemakerchicpodcast this week so you don't miss out.
That sounds like the perfect idea.
I think we're
for a Monday to-do list.
We're probably going to talk about food. I got food on the mind.
Oh, on our live hangout? You guys, the live hangout is so fun. So you need to just run over to Patreon right now so you can be a part of the next one because It's a riot.
Yes, it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. And we need more people. Yeah. We need more like-minded folks around us. Do we not? That was a rhetorical question.
Everybody needs a tribe. Yes,
absolutely. And you are our tribe, ladies. Thank you for being here.
And we are yours. Cheers.